welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are at 9 and 11 a.m. in Artesia, California. You can find out more about us by going online and visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
A couple of things. Make sure to share this link. Be part of our Facebook group page. That is how we are encouraging people, keeping people in contact, praying with people. You can also use the link for the prayer. Our prayer team is still actively operating through email, praying for all of you, interceding, because we believe God is doing something new. There's a move of God that's happening right now that you and I get to be a part of. And so just continue to submit those prayer requests. Don't forget Kids Life. Link is on here, and so you're able to, for your kiddos to do their Kids Life Church. I know my kids absolutely love it, and I want to shout out to our Kids Life team. They're producing videos and editing and writing curriculum all through this. So we have a team of staff, and we have a team of volunteers who are serving so faithful. So thank you to Allie and her team, Carrie Ann, Amanda, Courtney, Aubrey, all of you who are just working so hard. Working with Kids Life. So thankful. I think this season, if I were to give it a word right now, it's just how thankful I am for the community that we have around us today. One other thing I want to invite you to do is we want to hear from you. We want to hear what God is speaking to you, or just how your family's doing during the stay at home, what creative ways you're doing to stay active. What things have you discovered? I've came across all my school IDs this week, and it was terrifying showing my kids. I don't know if they were scared because I look different or because Jude's looking at his future. I don't know. but make sure, share those videos with us. So if you can just take a quick video with your phone, you can send it to connect@gotothewell.church. And we want to just start sharing some of those stories here on our live stream. So make sure to do that. Take a quick video. Just let us know how you're doing. I know people want to see your faces and hear how you are. And so make sure you take the opportunity to do that. Take a moment. I want us to pray over our giving. I know giving may seem like a weird topic to talk about right now. Some of you have been furloughed. Maybe you've lost a job. Some of you, you're working harder than you've ever worked before. We've all gotten some sort of stimulus check. There's whatever way God is providing for you and your family, we have an opportunity to, one, we thank him for it, and we trust in him. And then we also continue to respond in obedience to our giving. You guys have been so faithful and so generous and so obedient to God in this season, and it's just neat to see what happens when we give God control of our finances. So just in this moment, whether you got to lay hands on your checkbook, lay hands on your wallet, lay hands toward the direction of your workplace, whatever it may be, let's just take a moment to pray over our finances as you have an opportunity to give and worship in this way. God, we thank you for how incredible faithful you are, as we sung earlier. God, we thank you that you see our financial situation as a country and as a family unit. And so, Lord, I pray that you continue to show us that you alone are a provider. Lord, if people are waiting for unemployment, Lord, would you give them favor in that and open up doors so unemployment can come in? Lord, if people need groceries, let them respond. Let us know so we can help them. God, just thank you for the way that you provide for your church and your families and your people. We love you and we praise you in your name. Amen. Amen. It's absolutely amazing to see how God provides. And again, if you're in a place that you need groceries, whether you need help with groceries or you just don't want to go out and go shopping, let us know at that connect email, connect@gotothewell.church, so we can help you get the things that you need. I never thought finding something like toilet paper was such a victorious thing when you got home. Because it's like, hey, victory, and the children sing praises, and there's a parade into the house as we celebrate our bounty, literally. Oh, no, wait, that's paper towels. You get the idea. But make sure that, let us know. We are here to help you during this time. We love being able to do that. A couple of ways you can continue to help. Bring meals for your hospital workers, volunteer at food banks, give blood, neighborhood check-ins. And one of the biggest things you can do, unless you have to go into work, please stay home. Don't be tempted to go out and have parties and go interact with people. Just unless you are part of doing something essential, please stay home. Let's keep people healthy. I know it's different, but it's okay. I found old fireworks from 4th of July last year, so we lit off some sparklers yesterday with the kids just to give them something to do, but get creative in this opportunity that we get to stay home. And also, just prayer requests. If you've got prayer requests, make sure to submit those at prayer@gotothewell.church. We're praying for all of our frontline people, all of our grocery workers, everyone who's having to go out there and put themselves in harm's way. We are so thankful for you, and we are praying for you. Well, here we are. Take a breath. I know I need to. just checking on you guys. Last week was Easter. And I ended our time together with this verse in John 8. It says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light, the light of life. So we now, as we walk with Jesus, we have an option. No, not option. It's now that we have the option now to walk in darkness or light, we get to choose to walk in light, and that's with Jesus. See, walking with Jesus has very little to do with religious dogma, has very little to do with religious ritual. See, walking with Jesus is about relationship. It's learning his rhythm. It's learning how he walks, how he responds to things, how he interacts with people. And then we get to follow that example and begin to match our rhythm with his rhythm. See, everyone has some sort of rhythm. Some of you, if you were to put your life rhythm to a musical score, some of you may sound like a classical music piece. Others of you sounds like a heavy rock metal band, and you don't know what's going on, where it's at, because it's just all over the place, and you wonder why you're so tired. But because you don't have healthy rhythms in your life, you're just constantly exhausted. You go a mile a minute, and you wonder, how did everything go by so fast? Why did I not be able to take in everything? Why am I so heavy and burdened? And when Jesus says that his burden is light, a lot of what he's talking about is that we live by his rhythms now. But many times we go, yeah, Jesus, that's a good idea, but I'm going to do my thing. But now we're in a situation where we have had to slow down. Many of us have had to slow down. Some of you had to speed up. Our doctors and nurses, man, you guys are going more hours than you've ever worked before. There's a whole different rhythm. And so we have to, unless we look to Jesus, we're going to struggle in finding a healthy rhythm in any circumstance, in any situation that we find ourselves in. But it's hard. Not only are we physically exhausted, there's an emotional toll that's happening. Because now we're having to put face masks on our kids. We're having to move and clean groceries as they come in. We're having to stand outside grocery stores. I stood outside of Trader Joe's for an hour. These are new emotional stresses. And then the spiritual element that comes into that, we're going, okay, God, where are you in all of this? And so there could be faith, there could be frustration, there could be disappointment that begins to pour into your heart. And so every part of us right now in our culture, we are at a different rhythm than we've ever lived in before. I've been seeing a verse shared all across different social medias that is a very encouraging verse. But at the same time, I think it's very telling of where we're at. And it's this. It's Psalm 46, verse 10. It says this, be still and know that I am God. I want to say that again. It says, be still and know that I am God. We hear this verse and we go, oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, I want to be still. Yes, be still, be still, be still. And then you wonder, why aren't I still? I've read the Bible verse, be still, but I don't feel still. And a lot of times what happens is we know what we want to be still, but we forget the other half of the verse. It says, be still and know that I am God. I think a lot of the reason why we don't experience stillness is because we don't know God. And when I say know God, that's not just you know of him. No, you know him. You've walked with him. You know his cadence. You know his rhythm. You know his character. You know what it sounds like when he walks in a room. I can tell when Aaron's walking through the hallway because she has different footsteps than Jude or of Ella. I can tell when we're even in a large room, a bunch of people, I can tell when it's Aaron who's by me. Why? Because I know her. A lot of times we want to be still, but we only know of God. We don't know God. It is impossible for you to experience stillness without knowing God. So how do we know God? Seems kind of a big abstract idea. And this is what's so amazing about our God is that he sent his son Jesus. That if when we see the son, we see the father. Jesus is both fully man and fully God. So we get to experience him not only as on human to human level, but he is also divine. We get to experience his divinity. See, Jesus in Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image of the invisible God. In Hebrews chapter 12, for this reason, he had to be made like them, us, like us, fully human in every way, in order that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He's able to help those who are being tempted. See, when you see Jesus, you see the Father. And he isn't a God who's far off, who doesn't get you. I don't know why, but my five-year-old's favorite thing to say right now is, you don't know my life. Girl, I know your life. I brought you into this world, and I've experienced you 5 years. I know your life. Sorry, projecting here. But what he's saying here is that when we see Jesus, we see the Father. And Jesus isn't numb to our human experience and our human existence. He experienced it too. So not only are we able to know him, but he knows us. You see the difference there? So when we say, be still and know that I am God, we will discover that we need to know Jesus more intimately. So let's begin this journey. This is what this whole series about be is about, is that we become more like Jesus. We become more human. We get to experience our humanness at a greater level. See, Jesus invites us to walk with him. Jesus invites us to be with him. So in this season, whether you've had to slow down or speed up, the encouragement here is that you be with Jesus. And we're going to unpack what that means. So buckle in. Here we go. Number one, know you're valuable. Know that you are valuable. I want you to hear that, and I want you to let that sink in. You are God's favorite, his most treasured possession. If you have someone next to you, or you can type that right there in the comments, is that you can just say that you are, just tell me you're God's favorite. God thinks you're something pretty special. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no, just God thinks you're valuable to the point that he gave his only son for you. But I love this. We see Jesus himself experienced this importance of value. We read in Matthew chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 13 through 17. Jesus hasn't done anything. He's 30 years old. He's lived his life. He was a carpenter. He hasn't done anything special. He's just lived his life. But we come to the baptism of Jesus, and we see God speak something very specifically over him. It says, and Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? But Jesus answered, let this be for now, for thus is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and the heavens opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven, from the Father, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Jesus hasn't done anything. thing yet. And a lot of times what you and I like to do is we like to associate what we do with our value. Where God, the way he sees things is because you are, your ability to be a human being instead of a human doing, God finds value in your being. My beloved son, whom I well pleased. Jesus hasn't gone to the cross yet. Jesus hasn't fed thousands. He hasn't healed the blind. Before he was doing, he was simply being God's son. And God found pleasure in that. One of the greatest ways that we can become more like Jesus is to simply allow the fact and the reality to settle into our heart and our mind to know that you too are a child of God. You are a son. You are a daughter. You're valuable. You are a beloved son. You are a beloved daughter for whom he is well pleased. Why? Because he created you. He created you. Not only that, in Ephesians it says, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Christ Jesus according to the purpose of his will. He adopted you. You've been adopted to the household of the king, and you didn't do anything. He chose you. It has nothing to do with your qualifications. It's simply because he values you. That's why as we follow this, you know, we were given the choice of good and evil. As we're falling into descent of evil, Jesus reaches out to rescue every single person because he loves us. He doesn't see you as one or the other. He sees you as his. And he's willing to, and he gave his life for it. You are valuable, not because of anything you can accomplish, but simply because you are his. You want to become more like Jesus, just know that God is pleased. You're valuable. Stop trying to earn his affection or his adoration or your salvation. Just receive it with thanksgiving and joy because you're valuable. The first way to begin to be is to just stop doing for something or someone that has already given you everything. He just wants you to be with him. Which comes to number two. Know the value of rest. Isn't that awesome? When you get to be with God, it's not about, okay, what do I got to do? What do I got to do for God? No, it's you just get to rest in him. We get to rest in him. I'm not just talking about sleep, but to rest, to relinquish control and say, God, I'm going to rest in you. This is why the principle of Sabbath is so important. In all the Ten Commandments, that's the first one, says this is how you're going to love me and love people. Is you're going to take a moment to rest. And Sabbath is not just kick back and just hang out and not do anything. Sabbath is a time to reconnect with God, reconnect with the people around you, and to celebrate his goodness. But because we become so addicted to working, 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 this quarantine has been the first time you stopped. How many of us have home projects that we did because are doing now because we were too busy? How many family dinners have you been able to have that you weren't able to before because you were too busy? See, when we incorporate a weekly Sabbath into our life, it teaches us to rest. To rest and realize our value doesn't come from doing, it comes from being a child of God. When we rest, what happens is we're also more likely to drop our will and pick up his will. And his will isn't as burdensome as ours. So we need physical rest. In this season, are you exercising? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you watching Netflix till 2 a.m.? That's probably not the best idea. But are you getting good sleep? Are you eating well? Are you choosing to eat well? Are you creating healthy routines? Maybe emotionally. Do you know right now, it's okay. Not even just right now, in general, in humanity, it's okay to be emotional. You need to give yourself permission to feel the things that you're feeling right now in this season. The rest you might need might not come until you allow yourself to break down and cry. There's nothing sinful about your emotions. Jesus cried. Jesus got frustrated and upset. Jesus confided in his friends and said, hey, I'm feeling this way. We read through the Psalms, King David expresses his frustration and his disappointment and his fear. It is good to let go and allow your emotions to rest. Begin to cast those upon Jesus. Your emotions aren't scary for him. Get people around you who can support you, who you can just call or Zoom call and say, hey, I'm going through a difficult time. I know at the beginning of this whole quarantine, that first week was very difficult for me. From stress, from anxiety to, okay, what in the world is going on? I had to call 4 or 5 of my friends and go, hey, I'm struggling. Can you help me? They prayed for me. They talked with me. They let me process through those things. And I found emotional rest. And many of you, you're trying to hold up a certain level of strength that, oh, I've got this, I've got this. I guarantee by day 30, it's going to break anyway. Allow yourself to give into that process. Put healthy people around you so you can find that emotional rest. And just that spiritual rest. You just sit and just be with Jesus. You don't even have to sing. You don't even have to open your Bible. Just start with just being with Jesus. Sit at his feet. What you're going to find when you sit at the feet of Jesus, he doesn't give you peace. Jesus doesn't give you peace. You know what happens is you discover that Jesus is peace. He is peace. He is love. He is rest. So it's that going back to sitting at the feet of Jesus to find rest. And what happens when you do that, number 3, write this down. We begin to move with God. You're not moving for God. You're moving with God. There's a big difference. See, when you constantly are doing something with somebody, you build a bond. You build a brotherhood, a sisterhood. It's like, yeah, we get to do this together. But you know what happens when you're constantly doing something for somebody? You get bitter. You get angry. You get frustrated because you feel like you're the only one putting into this relationship. With Jesus, we're always doing something. We have the opportunity to do it with him. His invitation has always come with him. And that way it builds that bond. It builds relationship and not bitterness. So maybe you're in the spot right now where you feel bitterness toward God. Could you be willing to be honest with yourself? Are you trying to do things for him? Or are you trying to do things with him? Because when you're trying to do things for him, you're probably adding a lot more things on your plate that he never asked you to do. Check this out. When we look in the scriptures in John 14, we see that Jesus never did anything for God. You can tweet that one out. Jesus did nothing for God. Jesus did everything with God. See the difference? So let's look at this in John 14. Philip said to him, "Show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." And you can say, "Show us the Father." "Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works of themselves." We get to be with God. It's not just doing things for God. I think that's what Philip was looking for. He goes, okay, tell me how I can do things for God. Tell me what I can do so I can just do what he does and just kind of do things for him. And he's saying, no, what happens when you walk with Jesus, when you walk with him, it's not just you and Jesus. Oh, they're together. There's no separation. You can apply this even to your marriage for our people who are married today, is we do things with our spouse. You're not just doing it for them. So when I made the mistake this week, and I said, I did the dishes for you, Aaron. That was wrong. Big mistake is I had to stop and go, no, I did the dishes for us because it's my house as well. And we all participate and live in the same house. We do things together and we're teaching the same principles to my kids. You're not just feeding the dog because that's your chore. That's your job. You're feeding the dog because that's what we get to do as a family, is we get to take care of this dog or whatever else that we may be doing together. because I want us to build a bond and relationship. I don't want to build bitterness. I don't want to build that frustration. We get to be with God. So when we, these next few weeks, as we learn what it means to be, my encouragement for you that is you are not doing these activities or disciplines like reading your Bible, fasting, practicing Sabbath, these different things we're going to talk about as we look at the life of Jesus, is you're doing them with God. So it's not about, oh, I have to do my daily devotions, or I have to do this. No, it's, I get to spend time with my Father. I get to spend time with Jesus. Man, this is neat. It's like getting ready for a date. It's like, oh, cool, I get to hang out with this person. We have that opportunity at a greater level than we've ever had before. And so our heart behind this series, as we go into these next coming weeks, is that you get to be with Jesus. And when you get to be with him, you build that relationship. See, Jesus is called a son, not an acquaintance, not an obligation. He's the son of God. His life reflects a man who knows how to be. So we're going to follow in his example as we look at the life of Jesus. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that we may follow in his steps." We've been called. We've been called to follow in Jesus' steps with him. So as we worship together in this moment, as we respond to the things that Jesus and the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, speaking to your soul, can I encourage you as we worship this with this song? This song isn't even about what God can do for you. It's not about, it's receiving a blessing. Can you just in your moment, whether you're with your family, you're by yourself, whether you're in bed, you're in the living room, you're in your car right now watching, can you take a moment to just be with Jesus? Allow these words to be sung over you. Respond to him with joy and thanksgiving. Don't ask him for anything. Don't expect him to do something special. Don't make any promises to him right now. Just be. It's just to hear that we have been blessed and that there is a blessing that's for us so that we can, that's why we say amen. That's why we say hallelujah. That's why we're able to receive. And I wanted to take a moment right now. Is I know there's so many, we have kids, we have babies watching, we've got the little ones. And can I just say in this moment, and they're just grab their attention real quick. I just felt pressed upon my heart as we worship together to communicate and share with you kiddos. God loves you so incredibly much. There is nothing you could say or do that would ever separate you from the love of God. So even at this age, even where you're at right now, just know that Jesus loves you, finds you valuable, that you are important, and he has an incredible plan for your life today. So rest in him, little ones. Well, maybe today is the first time that you heard that God loves you. Maybe this is the first time that you heard that Jesus was here to not judge you, not to put you down, but to receive you into his kingdom, to adopt you as son and daughter. And you want to give your life, you want to receive this gift of salvation for the very first time. I want to invite you to do that. So right there in your home, if you would just take a moment, put your hand over your heart. And I want you to close your eyes and maybe you're at home right now, you know Jesus, but I want you to take this moment, put your hand over your heart as well. And I want you to begin praying for people who don't know him. But if today you want to discover Jesus for the first time, would you pray this with me right where you are? Jesus, I thank you for the gift that you are. Thank you for reaching out and rescuing me. I commit my life to you today, and I welcome the gifts of grace and of mercy on my life. Forgive me of my sins and help me to follow you every day. Thank you, Jesus. I give you my life. Amen. Amen. If that was you today, there's a link that Shane just put on the comments that you can click. Let us know that you made that decision so we can get you the information that you need to begin this journey called following Jesus. Now, I also want to encourage those who it's time for you to encounter Jesus. And with today, what I want to encourage you with and leave you with is that you would just rest in him this week. Would you just be with him? Even if you don't, just sit outside, sit in your home and close your eyes and just be with him. Recognize that you don't have to do something for him to be pleased with you. But what we're going to discover next week is because he's pleased with us, we want to do things with him. And so just begin to prepare your heart this week to receive for what Jesus has for you now, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you now. Write it down so you don't forget. And be encouraged because you have a God in every season who wants to walk with you. I'd like to pray for you. And then I want you to have a fantastic weekend. Have a great week. Stay safe. But God, I thank you for everyone who is watching right now. Lord, whether they're watching live or going to be watching later on this week. God, I pray blessing and favor over each home. Lord, I pray for every person in every household, older, younger. Lord, I pray for every person who's having to go into work, Lord, who are putting themselves in harm's way. God, would you protect them? Would you cover them? Lord, would you bring financial provision to our homes? Lord, would you bring peace to our homes? God, we thank you for all the things that you are and all that you want to continue to do in this season. We praise you and we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, we all said, amen, amen. Well, we love you. Cannot wait to see you again. Remember to send us those videos so we can share them with you all and just see how God is moving in your home. We love you. You are loved. And we cannot wait to spend time with you again. Have a fantastic week. And don't forget, Kids Life. Yes, Kids Life is happening right after this. And we'll see you on the Facebook group page, all that great things. Seriously, love spending time with you. Have a great one.
Thank you for listening to The Well Podcast. If you'd like more information or would like to get connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. You are loved.